If you would, this morning, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Today I want to encourage you. I hope this will be an encouraging message. Encourage you in the gospel. Encourage you to be confident in your faith. You know, it seems to be that so many of us are just kind of timid when it comes to sharing our faith, sharing the gospel. Now, man, this should stir our hearts. And look, I'm as guilty as anyone. I have been in the past, but the Lord has touched my heart and has dealt with me on just being just kind of about the gospel. It should stir our hearts. We should be excited about what God has done. And when we really think about what God has done in our life, just the experiences that we have felt and that we have seen with our eyes and that we have witnessed within, man, that should stir our hearts to share with this world what we have seen and what we have heard. So today, I want to encourage you in that, and I want to look at the Scriptures and see here from 2 Peter chapter 1 how Peter was encouraged and how he took hold of a confident faith. Now, what we're going to see here, we're going to be thinking about the incredible things that he did after the experiences he had. God used him in such a mighty way. There in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon him and he stood and he lifted his voice and he preached the gospel. 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior on that day because of the confident preaching and the confident sharing of the gospel through the Apostle Peter. Now, we're going to read the whole chapter, but I want you to notice before we get through, I'm going to read the first couple of verses. Listen closely. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I want to draw your attention to real quick before we move on. Our tendency is to look at some of the biblical characters like they are just some high and lofty, unattainable faith that we could never know and we could never see. But did you hear the heart of Peter in his humility there in the first verse? Notice again, to those, he's saying, I'm writing to these people, me and you, to the churches. This is a letter that circulated throughout the churches. I am writing to you. I am writing to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is he saying? If you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, you are in equal standing with the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. The same Holy Spirit dwells within you, and you can share the gospel with confidence in the same kind of way. You can see a move of God in your life, and those around you, those who you are with, can see and know, and you can witness to the greatness of God in the same way that they did. So just in case anybody in here is hearing this message and seeing this story and saying, well, I'm no Peter. I'm no apostle. I don't know if I could have that kind of confidence to share the gospel. Well, Peter just took that off the table in his first verse. So let's move on. May grace and peace, verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are in you and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind and has having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in my body, to stir you up by way of reminder. I just want to pause for 1 second, just let you know, this morning, that is my heart for you. I want to stir you up by way of reminder. I don't endeavor to think that I'm going to teach you something new today, but I want to stir you up in the things that you already know. And I pray that you would be compelled to go and preach the gospel, to share the gospel. You say, I'm not a preacher, I don't understand. You don't have to preach in a pulpit. You can share your faith with those around you. And I hope to stir that up in your heart and be reminded of the goodness of God and what He has done for you and what He has done for me. Did you notice, too, something ironic? I just want to throw this out real quick. You know, something that's sometimes debated and wondered is if the biblical writers actually knew they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit, or whether they knew the weight of what they were writing and that it would be recorded in Scripture forever. He said, as long as I'm in my body, I hope to stir you up by a reminder. Peter's long since left his body, but he's stirring people's hearts today because of what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write on these pages. I hope you're stirred up this morning. Verse 14, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. And this is where we will draw our focus for the day, these verses to come. Verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with Him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture came from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Most gracious Lord, Father, we pray that You will bless the reading of Your Word this morning. Father, bless the efforts at preaching Your Word this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, first of all, stir my heart. Before I ask You to stir these who have gathered here, stir me. Lord, I just pray, Father, give me the boldness that I'm speaking of this morning, Lord, the confidence in faith, Father, not in myself, not at all whatsoever, because it's destined to fail when we place our confidence in ourselves. But Lord, help us to see and to know and to understand, Lord, that we can place our confidence fully in You. Lord, I pray, bless this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The author of this book, the Apostle Peter, he was known for being a confident guy even before the Lord got a hold to him. He was, y'all know he had a tendency to spout off pretty quick, you know, when there seemed to be a need for a response, when maybe there really wasn't. Peter was pretty quick to respond, whether it was with an action when he drew the sword and chopped the guy's ear off, and the Lord had to remind him, I don't need your help. I can call down all the armies of heaven if I needed help. I don't need your help, Peter. Calm down. But he would respond in that kind of way. He was quick to respond. There were other times when he stuck his foot in his mouth, as people have said. He would take his foot out of his mouth, just put the other one in. But there was one time also that he got it right, and then he turned around and got it wrong. See, there was so much self-confidence that he had, and the Lord was doing a work in his life, though. He was doing a work in him to remove that self-confidence and to replace it with a genuine confidence in the Lord. So this morning, I'd like to just encourage you to take hold to a confident faith, being confident in having experienced the power of God. If you notice there in verse 16, this is what Peter says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." He said, "I was there, I saw it with my own eyes." You see, Peter is saying, when I preach the gospel to you, I'm not preaching the gospel to you based on a story I heard somebody else tell me, or on a myth of something that I read about when I was in school, or in some other way. He's saying, when I'm preaching the gospel to you, I'm preaching from a personal experience. I have seen and I have experienced the power of God. That's what Peter's saying right there. Brothers and sisters, have you experienced the power of God in your life? Do you know that you have? Some of us can look at what Peter has said and the accounts of what he has experienced in the power of God and say, well, I've never experienced anything like that. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if you have experienced the power of God unto salvation, you have experienced the greatest miracle that you ever could. Peter experienced the power of God in many ways. We know that throughout the gospel there's things so much recorded about he was there when Jesus healed the sick. He was there when Jesus sighted the blind. He was there when he saw Jesus take a lame man and have him walk. He was there and he watched him calm a raging storm. He was there and he watched him walk on the raging sea. And now he's drawing an emphasis to the experience of having been there to see his power in the transfiguration on that holy mountain. That's where he's at in this a certain time, and these experiences no doubt may have fed a little bit of his self-confidence, being that he was one that was chosen to be on that holy mountain. He was one of the three there. And we notice, if you remember, we recently studied this account from Matthew not too long ago. Pastor Stephen was leading us through that. And we saw that Peter, he responded a little too quickly. He responded in kind of a boneheaded way. But there was also another case where the Apostle Peter was asked a question and he responded correctly. If y'all recall, also in our study of Matthew, Peter was, or the disciples were gathered with Jesus, and Jesus asked them, "Who do other men say that I am?" And they responded with various responses. Well, some say that you're John the Baptist reincarnated. Some say you're one of the prophets, and some say this and that. And he said, "But what? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter made the great confession of our faith. And Jesus' response, no doubt, knowing the tendencies of Peter to be a little self-confident, he said, "Peter, blessed are you. What you just said didn't come from you." The exact words from the scripture says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." Peter, this didn't come from you. That confession came from a revelation that can only come from the power of God. God gave you that. That didn't come from you. And in, I'm sure he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed that to you." And all that is the foundation of our faith. Then he turns right around and he sticks his foot in his mouth. When the Lord said, told of his coming death in Jerusalem, Peter said, no, Lord, that's not going to happen. He had just confessed him as Lord, but then he told him no, that he was wrong. He rebuked the Lord in self-confidence. He thought he was on a roll maybe and said, "No, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you." And of course, the Lord corrected him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." And the Lord needed to break that self-confidence. And there were even more instances where the Lord would need to break his self-confidence until eventually Peter came to understand the glories of placing his complete confidence in the power of God. Could you imagine the day, according to Luke, he was the Apostle Peter was the first to have appeared, or the Lord appeared before. It simply says there in Luke's Gospel that he has appeared to Simon Peter. Could you imagine what Peter may have felt after that resurrection day? Do you think he may have, his mind might have gone back to the day when he had been on a roll confessing the Lord in correctness and then turning right around to rebuke him and tell him, no, this isn't going to happen to you. See, he didn't have a confidence in the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought he was going to be doing the right thing by saying, no, you're not going to die. But the Lord said, yes, I'm going to die, but in my power, I'm going to be raised from the dead. He didn't have confidence in the power of God. But it all became clear to Peter that his confidence was misdirected when the Lord made his power known to him personally. The Lord redirected that self-confidence to a confidence in him himself. He didn't understand the resurrection power. Peter didn't at the time. But when Peter saw the risen Lord, oh, he experienced for himself personally the resurrection power of God. Now we, like I said, sometimes we start thinking, you know, I've never experienced that kind of amazing power of God. Let me just remind you, brothers and sisters, that Romans 1 says, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel is the power of God, and if you have experienced the gospel under salvation, you have experienced the power of God. Go in that confidence and share your faith. Share the gospel that has changed your life with the world that needs it so desperately. Our world is dying, and we're becoming spiritual chickens, not even able to share of what God has done from a personal experience. Peter, in his self-confidence, had rebuked the Lord, saying that he would not be killed. But Peter did not understand the resurrection power of God. Jesus would go to the cross, but in the power of God, would overcome death and be raised to life again. Peter learned that his self-confidence was misdirected, and Jesus would redirect his confidence back to the power of God. That same resurrection power, brothers, that same resurrection power that Peter experienced has raised you from death to life. It has changed you from a sinner to a saint. It has transformed you from an enemy of God to a friend of God, from guilty and condemned to forgiven and set free. Brothers, that ought to give us the kind of confidence that wants to tell the world. From that confidence in the power of God that to resurrect life, and from the experience that you have had personally, the experience of God in your life, share the gospel boldly. It is the power of God unto salvation. I can testify to the power of God in my own life. God changed me. God filled me for all eternity. There was a time in my life when I was just no good. I was no good. I was a troublemaker. I was a drunk. I was doing things I'm probably not going to mention right now. Look, I don't want to highlight what I used to be. I want to highlight what God made me. He made me. He took me from a piece of garbage, somebody who was a good for nothing, who was never going to amount to anything, and He made me a child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the power of the gospel. Has that happened to you? Have you experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's share it. Let's be bold when we share it. Not only should we be bold in having experienced the power of God, but we should be bold in having heard the voice of God. Now, before anybody takes that too far, I understand that God doesn't necessarily in this day and time come to us audibly and speak just like I'm speaking to you. But however, He does speak to us, I believe, in that still small voice, according to Scripture, by the way. You know, sometimes I was just thinking about Peter when he heard that voice. He heard the voice that corrected him on that holy mountain. If you recall from this text, it tells us that Peter that he heard the voice and it said, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, if we go back and recall what took place, all the details of what took place when he was on that holy mountain from the Gospel of Matthew, we recall that when he was there, he said a couple of boneheaded things, right? As a matter of fact, I think it was Stephen who said that he said the understatement of all of history. He was there on the holy mountain with God and seeing the glories of God. All that had been veiled in flesh in Jesus Christ was coming out, and his response was, "It's good that we're here." You think? Yeah, it's good that you're here, Peter. What else you got? I got a great idea. Let's put up three temples. We'll put one up for Moses, and we'll put one up for Elijah, and then we'll put another one up for Jesus. You know, sometimes we can have an experience in the power of God, and it compels us to want to do something. And there's nothing wrong with that feeling that, you know, man, I'm going to do something for the Lord. But just make sure that when you take that zeal and that passion to the Word of God, we need to hear the Word of the Lord. We need to hear His voice and gain His instruction before we come up with our own ideas. You see, Peter said, "I've got a great idea," and what he was doing in the spur of the moment, in the confidence of himself, was he just said, "Let's build an altar up here so we can worship Elijah and we can worship Moses and we can worship Jesus because they're all the same." And that's when he heard the voice of God. He said, "This is my son. They are not. This is my son. You listen to him." We need to hear his voice. We need to listen to what Jesus said we need to do with our ministry. Now look, we can come up with some great ideas, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it needs to be in accordance with the Word of God. So how can we know for sure that what we're doing, what we're working through, and the ministries that we're doing, how can we know that we're doing the will of the Lord? How do we know that we're doing the right thing? We're not doing something silly like Peter wanted to do. Well, one thing you can do is consider the Great Commission. Before the Lord ascended, he gave his final instructions to his disciples, and he said, all authority and power has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go, therefore, into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. So are our ministry endeavors doing those things? Are they teaching people the ways of the Lord? Are they making disciples? Are they winning souls? That's what we need to be considering. When you get fired up, that's a good thing. Get fired up for what the Lord is doing in your life. But make sure that before you move forward in your own ideas and your own plans of what you want to do, that you're doing the work of the Lord. We need to hear from the Lord. I don't say that in a harsh way, but if we just sit down for a few minutes and instead of jumping headlong into whatever our own ideas come up with, and just spend some time in the Word of God, we might get some good, clear instructions, and the Lord just might bless it. We might see a mighty move of the Lord. Might I just say, as far as I know, most of the ministries that take place here are good ministries. So I don't want anybody to think that there's a ministry in our church that I don't like and I'm picking on it right now. That's not at all. All right. We need to be confident in having heard the voice of the Lord. He speaks to us through His Word. The Bible is the Word of God. And if we want to hear His voice, we need to open it up right here. You want to hear the voice of the Lord? Open it up and read it. This is His Word. We need to hear from Jesus according to His Word so that we might obey His Word and share his gospel confidently. We can be confident in sharing the gospel when we know what the Word of God says about the gospel. You know, it's a common thing to hear. I've heard it from several people. You know, when you ask, you know, what kind of deters you from sharing your faith? And I've said it even myself. I'm not sure that I know what to say. I mean, I'm sure many of us feel like that. I felt like that many times. A lot of times that hinders me. Guys, all we need to do is speak the words of the Lord. What did He say? If you want to know the right things to say, know what the Bible says about the gospel. What does it say about the gospel? Use those words. You don't have to come up with anything fancy. Say what He said. You can guarantee you can share that in confidence when you know it came from the Lord. When we know we've heard from the Lord, we can share the gospel in confidence. His word will not return void. We just read, for no prophecy of Scripture has ever come from man's own interpretation, but men of God spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Linger over the text. If you just take a little while. Open up the Word of God. You don't have to be in a hurry. You don't have to read a ton, a huge amount. You don't have to just think you're going to sit down for a couple hours and you've got to figure out from one end to the other everything that the Bible says. And let the Lord speak to you. Spend some time. Linger over that text. Linger over one verse. Let it sink into your heart. Let it penetrate deep into. Let the Word of God deal with you personally. And man, when you do that, I can promise you, you'll have something to unleash. You'll have the power of God to unleash when you're given the opportunity. As a matter of fact, the Lord promised His disciples that when you're doing My work, I'll be faithful to bring to your remembrance. Don't worry about what to say. I'll bring to your remembrance what I taught you. Remembrance. You can't remember something you didn't first read or first learn, right? So if you've read it and the Lord has spoke to your heart, when you have an ample opportunity to share the Word of God with someone, the Lord's going to bring that to your remembrance. He's faithful to do that. We should be confident in having experienced the power of God unto salvation. We should be confident in having heard the voice of the Lord. And we should be confident in having been in the presence of God. If you notice there in verse 18 says, we ourselves heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. Peter said that he had been with the Lord there. He was physically there in the presence of God. He had spent close to 3 years by now, by this time, with the Lord, spending that time with Him. And from the abundance of time spent with Jesus, Peter had the blessing of being in His presence when he unveiled the fullness of His deity. He lingered there with the Lord. He stayed faithful with the Lord. And God revealed to him something that's just absolutely incredible. Something that not just anybody was able to behold. Something that wasn't revealed to just anybody. You know, the Gospel of Mark tells us about Jesus calling His disciples. It says that He called the 12. He chose 12 so that they would be with Him. Now, it also says that He chose them so that He could send them out. That's usually where our mind goes, is that He chose them so He could send them out to preach and to share the gospel. But before it says that, He chose them so they would be with Him. That's first. That is first. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, be with Him first. Look, if you want to be effective in whatever you're doing for the Lord, in whatever ministry area that you're involved in, if you want to be effective in sharing your faith, if you want to do well in any of that, you have got to be with Jesus first. When you have been with the Lord, when you know you have been in His presence, I'm going to tell you, you'll have confidence to do whatever He would call you to do. From the abundance of time that he spent with Jesus, he was blessed to be there as he unveiled the fullness of his majesty. All of his deity came out. He desires first that we spend time with him. When we know that we have been with the Lord, just like Peter on the day of Pentecost, he lifted up his voice, is what the text says. He wasn't just having just a mediocre, calm conversation. He was excited about what he was about to say. And when he opened his mouth, it wasn't just his words that came out, but it was words that were set on fire by the flames of heaven. The Holy Spirit came down upon him with the tongue as a flaming fire. And the power of God went forth out of his mouth when he spoke the words of God, when he spoke the gospel. No doubt he was there. And he preached so powerfully and so confidently because he had been with Jesus. Brothers, we have to spend time with the Lord. We spend time with our friends and our family here, and we say that he's our Lord and our Savior. How can you have a relationship with someone that you don't spend time with? We have to spend time with the Lord. How do we do that? Well, we've already covered most of that. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak. He wants you to hear His voice through His Word. Linger over the text. Read it. Read it. If you want to know Him, know what His Word says about it. Nothing else is going to tell you about who God is and who Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is, other than the Word, where He is the grand subject. From front to back, from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus Christ is the grand subject of the entire Bible. If you want to know Him, know your Bible. Speaking of, in our Sunday school class this morning, we had a great discussion about why it's so important that we begin to learn how to study our Bibles. Next week, we're going to go a little bit more into how to do that. Hopefully very soon, we'll be offering something like that that would go a little bit deeper and more in detail here to our entire church family. And I'll tell you what, I'm fired up about it. I'm pumped about it. But there is nothing in this world like knowing that you have experienced the power of God. You have heard the voice of God, and you know that you have been in the presence of God. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. If you want to be confident, brothers and sisters, we need to be confident in what God has done for us, in His power, and having heard His voice, and having spent time with Him. We can see a great move of the Holy Spirit in this place, and in this county, if we take hold of a confident faith.